Okay, so as I was worshiping, I saw hearts that were wrapped up in chains. And I felt like there were many here that there was injustice done in your life. And there's been several years you've just been holding on to this hurt and this pain in your heart and crying out to God, like, God, heal me, deliver me, God. I need help with this thing. And I just really felt like I was supposed to read a portion of Psalms 18 over you. And I just want you to close your eyes and listen to these words. It's about David. When David was surrounded by the enemies, he's crying out to God. And it says, "For when the spirit of death wrapped chains around me, and terrifying torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, taking me to death's door, to doom's domain, I cried out to you in my distress, the delivering God. And from your temple throne, your heart, you heard my troubled cry. My sobs came right into your heart, and you turned your face to rescue me. The earth itself shivered and shook. It reeled and rocked before him. As the mountains melted, they melted away, for his anger was kindled, burning on my behalf. Fierce flames leapt from his mouth, erupting with blazing, burning coals, as smoke and fire encircled him. He stretched heaven's curtains open and came to my defense." And it goes on to talk about how the Lord scattered and just plundered David's enemies before him. And I just see the Lord coming in his justice heart, in his deliverance to his kids today. And I just see him unwrapping your hearts from these chains. And as you cry out to him, he just turns his ear and he says, "The one I love, I hear the one I love crying." And he comes to your defense. He comes down out of heaven in his furious love. And he's delivering you today. And I see some people, they're going to have dreams in the night. And in the nighttime, they're going to get this deliverance of their hearts. And it's nothing that you have to do. You just turn your face to him. And Daddy's going to take care of all of it. I also felt like there were people who had physical heart issues. And I felt like today the Lord was going to touch you and heal you. So if that's you, can you stand up? So I just release complete restoration over your heart. Yes. Deliverance over your heart in the physical. Yeah, kingdom come and align up everything in his body. We just declare a miracle in his body, a new heart, God. Yes, he burns for you, God. So give him a heart with enough strength to run the race you called him to, God.
All right. I have a couple names I want to try. Is there anybody here named Trish or Teresa? Something like that. Yeah? Oh my gosh, that's so weird because you were highlighted to me earlier. Cool. I'm going to come over here so I can like see your face. I just really felt like the Lord was just like grounding you. I kind of gave this word earlier, but I really felt like earlier I was upstairs in prayer and I just sat down and I immediately felt like really unbalanced. I was really dizzy. Like, I closed my eyes, and I felt like I had just been on a roller coaster, and I just stopped, you know? And so I just felt like the Lord was just grounding you, and he was just planting your feet in him. And I just saw your feet standing on his rock, and, like, him, and you're just growing roots down into him. And so I just want to bless you with that. And I felt like that song that we sang, "My Hope Is in You," like, "I'm steadfast, I will not be moved," that was so for you. Like, I just was like, whoa, that's such a confirmation of this word. Like, that is... He's just grounding you, and I just want to encourage you to just keep planting your hope in him, and like that you can always find refuge there, and that the more you plant your feet there, just the steadfastness of the Lord will just like ground everything in your life, even though it feels like so many things around you are just moving. There's a lot of moving parts. Yeah, I think it feels like there's a lot of moving parts around you that just feel really unstable and feel really unsure. You can always stand on him. You don't have to stand on anything else. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. I saw, or God reminded me, or not reminded, but I saw someone who has to do something with fish or fish business. That's relate to someone with fish? Okay, that's good. And I hear the word new over the whole church, and there is like this word in Isaiah 43:19, where God promised that He is do something new and also something fresh. So I mean, there are people out, they see prophetic things in everything who happen. I'm normally not that person, but this morning our window broke down, and there was coming a lot of fresh air in it, and I think that's really prophetic, that it's a new season and that God really wants to do something new. And sometimes it feels a little bit cold, yeah, and so it's not always comfortable when God is something new. And I also like talked to one of your guys, and he basically prophesied over himself and the whole church. We were talking about his truck and the four wheels, and that he has changed for every four wheels and that he can go everywhere. And then we were up in prayer, and God showed me this picture, like from in the snow, where the two tires driving on snow, like it was completely snow, and it was really, really high in the mountain, and the trees already stopped to grow. And then I asked God, what does it mean? And he told me that the church is going into a season where nobody else was before, and that you are special, unique, and that is God is doing something new in a way you never experienced before. And that it's like, yeah, it was on the mountain, like really high, so it takes you up, and you are pioneering that. And yeah, it was basically a prophecy for the whole church he gave himself. So it's like, yeah. And yeah, there was. And I heard memory. So if someone has like a memory issue or something like that, to remember things, or yeah, memory loss or something, if this person can stand, would be awesome. Then we can pray for him. I think there is a healing or a grace. Yeah. Okay. Maybe the people around can lay hands on them and we pray 15 seconds into it, and God restore like memory or help you to memorize. Yeah. Yeah, God, we pray that you come with your anointing healing, that you come on every person and touch the memory, the back of the head, and restore and restore memory. And we release your grace, your healing. In your word, then, through your stripes we are healed, and we take it for that person. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
The young lady with the pink hair, can you please stand? I just really felt like the Lord highlighted you, and I just feel like He's saying you're made to be seen. Yeah, you stand out, even if you don't feel like you do. You do stand out, and you're made to show His glory and His beauty. You're so beautiful because you're His daughter. Yeah, and people notice you. What's your name? Sarah? Okay. I heard that you're a Weaverville changer. Yeah. And I feel like not only are you a Weaverville changer, but you're a world changer. But you are going to change Weaverville. Do you have a friend close to you that's hurting right now? You do? Okay. I feel like this friend, you're going to show them the light that's Jesus just by being yourself and loving them through this hard situation they're going through. You and this person are going to have a huge impact on your community, your friends you hang out with. You're both going to show everyone around you Jesus. Yeah. And I feel like you already do. You do show Jesus. You admit his beauty. And I just really felt like you're entering this time period where Jesus is going to reveal himself to you in everything you do. And you're going to realize how close he is to you and how good of a friend he is. And that he wants you. And he has a purpose for you. You were made for a purpose. You have a great purpose. I heard, seek him and he will show you that purpose. And then I got this verse, Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. Yeah. So I want to encourage you to just sit in silence or with worship music and just listen to his voice and listen for his voice and draw near to him. Can everyone reach out your hands towards her? Yeah, Jesus, we just bless this young lady and this season she's in. I thank you, God, for her beauty. And I thank you that she's made to be seen and that she's a light and she stands out and that she's called to show others to you and that she's so special to you and she's so special to the people around her. And we cherish her and we honor her and we bless her in Jesus' name.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Yeah, Sarah, this is a good day for you. Let the Lord use you in power. I just really agree with that word. You're a special girl, Sarah. So, somebody had, there was another word for cerebral palsy. So if that means anything to you, please come up at the end and receive prayer. If anyone else, like, I didn't get a word, please come up to the group or come up front. It's okay that you didn't get highlighted. It's good for you to just press in and get a word anyway. So just everyone be encouraged. I feel like that was the word for today, that the Lord has good things for all of us. And just look to his face, look to his eyes. And everything falls to the ground.
And I prayed for God to put me in a church where I needed to be with the kind of people with like minds and like beliefs. And he led me here. He led me right here and he told me, he said, you will be in good hands here. And thank you, everybody. I want you to know God loves what you're doing here because he sent me right here.
What's your name?
I'm Kelly.
Kelly.
I'm Kelly Carroll.
Kelly. Well, great to have you here.
All right. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. So you got to have some grace with me. I think it's going to be fun. As you guys know, you know, what's feeding me is what feeds you guys. And last week I talked about a video that I was watching, a couple of videos I saw with a guy named Simon Sinek. Have you guys heard that name? You remember I mentioned it last week. And he's not a believer or anything, but has some just really cool insight. And I was listening to one of his videos, and we'll talk a little bit about, but and just kind of got this kind of inspiring direction. And it's anytime I try to communicate something that someone that was brilliant and educated and a professional speaker communicates, I feel like I always fall short. So just give me some peace in that when I try to do that. But I want to tell you a story first. You want your story?
Yes.
When I was a freshman, And I don't know, I know I've told the story, but I can't remember if I've told it here on Sunday morning or where I've told it. But if you've heard it, just pretend like you haven't. When I was a freshman, I think I was a freshman in high school because I was still riding the bus. And I had like a half a mile walk up this hill to where the bus picked me up. I walk in the morning. And it was a winter morning because I remember the ground was really wet. And my parents' house, there's a big flat driveway. They kind of live on a hillside. So there's a big flat driveway. And then there's a ravine that goes next to the driveway. And there's a big tree that's kind of growing right out of the bank, a big pine tree. And at some point, I'd climbed up this tree and hung a rope in there. And there's this big swing that you'd swing around, you know, back and forth. Have you guys, anybody heard this story yet? Is it sounding familiar? Some of you heard it? Pretend like you haven't. So, so this is a swing there. It's one of my favorite things to do when I was a kid was rope swing. There wasn't like a tree that I didn't want to climb or a swing that I could walk past without swinging on it. And so in the morning, of course, I'm ready to go to school and I come out of the house. It's like, I don't know, 7:30 in the morning or something. And same path. I don't know why this morning I picked that I wanted to grab the swing, but I grab a hold of the swing. And on the swing, there's a branch. It's like we tied this branch. It was about this big around, 2 inches or so around, piece of a pine branch. And I grabbed onto it and I was like, I'll take one swing and then run up to the bus. And so I go to swing and I'm holding onto the swing like this. And I run and jump. And so like the idea is to go around over this ravine and then land on the other side, right? And so I put my backpack down and I take a run and I swing it out. What I didn't realize is this swing where it was tied, of course, it hangs right next to the tree, right? And you pull it out to the side. You guys picture what I'm saying? Well, there's these little knobby things that stick out of pine trees, like when the old branches break. And the rope, as I was swinging, the rope had hooked on one of those little knobs. And it was about probably this far below where the rope was tied on. So as I started swinging, I wasn't at the right spot. Like, you know, see the rope like came down and went out. So I'm swinging around like this, enjoying my swing in the early morning. And that little nub sticking out breaks. So I'm holding like this, and all of a sudden the rope goes slack. I'm pulling with all of my strength to keep myself up, right? And so when the rope goes slack, boom! I smash myself in the face. And the stick, this like this big around, breaks right on my mouth. And then, of course, what I'm holding on to, the rope is tied in the middle, is not tied to the rope anymore. So then I find myself free falling kind of backwards. And I fall about, I don't know, 10, 12 feet or something. And I land in the bottom of this ravine on my back. And the, like, ravines in the winter are, they're muddy and wet. And I'm laying on my back. And I can feel the, you know, blood flowing out of my face. And I can't believe what just happened. And so I get up and I kind of climb back up the hill and onto the driveway. And there's blood, like my lip got split. So there's blood like pouring out. And I'm covered in mud and soaking wet. And I pick up my backpack and I'm walking back into the house. And my mom's getting ready to go to work. She was a sub for elementary school. And she's getting ready and doing her thing. And she looks at me and I come walking in. I'm covered in mud, blood all down. And I just walked out to go like, bye, Mom, I'm going to school. And like a minute and a half later, I come walking back in like I just, you know, came out from war or something. And she goes, what happened? And I'm blood everywhere and mud everywhere. And it's like, I went on the swing. She goes, why? I don't know. I don't know. Of course, she cleaned me up and I ended up being fine. Survived. But what I want to talk about is why. I started thinking about this why, the question of why. And this video spurred this whole thing. And it's funny, this is the first story that jumped into my mind. I can remember my mom going to my answer, you know, I went on the swing. Like, you're supposed to be going to the bus. Like I said, there wasn't very many times there was a rope swing that I could go by without. And I've fell off lots of rope swings, believe it or not. Because someone's got to be the first one to test the rope swing. You find a rope swing somewhere that somebody built. You know, you're like, it seems like it'll hold. It seems good, yeah. And so, but someone's got to be the first one. And yeah, that was me a bunch of times. Most of the time they hold, but sometimes they don't. They're older than you think. You guys want to hear another story? I wasn't going to tell this one, but it's funny. I don't like telling stories. We built this rope swing one time. We were always trying to build a bigger rope swing. Like, we just want the biggest rope swing we can find. So, you know, the good combination for a rope swing is get high. Your contact point's got to be high. And then you've got to get speed. So you've got to be swinging off something if you really want to swing. And which Larry Jimenez and me built that epic rope swing up at Mike Boggs' house. When we started getting training, like after building ropes courses, then we were like, oh, it's unstoppable. We can build. Anyway, this is before that. We built this swing, I don't know, 50, 60 feet in the air, and we pulled it back up into this oak tree, and we were jumping out of this oak tree off this branch. And I realized that if this branch wasn't here, there's actually a higher branch, we could get higher. And so we got to cut this branch off. Now, I was pretty young, but you know, we didn't have access to chainsaws or anything like that. So it's like, we can either chop it down with an axe, or we found this like rusty, like pruning saw. So I'm sawing this branch. Well, we didn't have a ladder. And so you got to climb the tree, and then you're working in the tree while you're, you know, you just make do with what you got. You know, you're with me? So anyway, I'm sitting on the branch and I'm cutting it. Now, this is not a cartoon where I'm sitting on the wrong side of the branch. Like, I wasn't like that. So this is this big oak branch, and I'm sitting on it, and this is the branches out here, and I'm cutting it. It's like this big around oak branch. So I'm cutting this branch, and you know, you get tired, and you're like trying to figure it out. So we get it, and then finally the thing goes like that, and it's hanging. So I'm like trying to cut it, and then we're hitting it with the axe, and it's hanging by like a piece of, you know how branches do that. So I'm cutting it, and finally, boom, the branch breaks loose. Now I'm like probably 20 feet in the air, which is about maybe 15 feet in the air, which is about what that black pole is right there. And I'm about 6 feet away from the main trunk of the tree. And so I'm cutting, and I'm just on a branch sitting there. And this thing, this huge branch, which is probably, I don't know, 1,000 pounds of all the branch out there, breaks free. Well, that thing is like a diving board. It just goes, poof. It shoots me up in the air. And so I'm up about this high off the branch. And I knew enough to throw the saw away. Throw the saw. And I thought, if I can come down on this branch. And so I landed right back down on the branch. And I grabbed on. And I just... And off backwards. And landed right in a nice, thick pile of leaves. And yeah, I survived that one too. That was fun.
Why?
Yeah, why? Why were you doing that? Why? Why did you do that? You haven't lived until you've survived falling out of a tree a couple dozen times. All right. So I was listening to Simon Sinek. I could just tell you stories of falling over and over and over again. I think I would have figured gravity out a little bit. So he was speaking about something called a golden circle. And it's not complicated, so I think I can draw it. And now see? Whew, genius. Now, like I said, this is just part of it that I want to, and the reason why I wanted to draw it, because I don't know, I'm a visual person, so once I see it, I can kind of picture what it is that I'm talking about, and hopefully you guys can connect and picture what I'm talking about too. So there's a, I'll make sure I write it down. If I write it down wrong, then we're in big trouble. There's this is what? Ooh. What? That's an H. This is... This is... You should be writing this for me. This is... How? You know how hard it is to ride down there? This is why. Now, what he was saying is that most people can tell you, have any of you guys ever seen this, first of all? Really? Oh, some of you have. It's really cool, and I would encourage you to watch it. Like I said, he's not a believer or anything, but most of what he's talking about is he speaks to businesses and corporations and things like that and talks about sales and all kinds of cool stuff. But just because of who I am, I just grabbed a hold of it, and I was like, man, that's awesome, and the church needs that. Anyway, he talks about how most people can tell you what they do. They could tell you, you know, like if we're talking about today, we're going to talk about the church, and we could tell you what we do. We can tell you what our day looks like. We can tell you what happens when you get here. Some people can tell you how they do it. What it is that they do that makes them unique. You know, after given a certain amount of time, you could probably tell people the how that motivates you to come to this place. Pick this place. How it is that you accomplish what it is that you do. But that he's found out that not very many people know why. Not many people know why they do what they do. Now, why does it matter? That's just the kind of key. And what I realized and through just kind of listening to him, and again, like I said, his is a lot about business and sales and all that stuff, but really it's the why. Our why is what drives us. It's what inspires us. It's what motivates us. It's what we're passionate about. It's what we dream about. It's where it's what focuses us. It's what we believe. It's what we believe about how and what it is that we're doing. I guess, okay. Are you with me so far? The other thing about why is what connects us to each other. Now, we'll connect temporarily over the what and the how, but the why is actually what deeply connects us. So let's take the church, for instance. What do? You know, church is about providing a safe, loving place for people to come and connect with God and to connect with each other. And we happen to call that the church. Right? People come to church to meet God and to meet people. And a whole bunch of people do that. There's a whole bunch of churches. Our how is it, like today, we give time for different things that we've decided to be that are valuable. We stay flexible for the Holy Spirit. We set up time to spend together. You know, we have amazing music and worship time together. We pray for people to get healed. We prophesy like today. But then when you get to that why, it starts to get kind of foggy. Now, all of us could probably come up with a reason of why. You could come up with something. If not a personal reason, you could probably come up with something that would look like a corporate why. I started writing different things down, and as I was writing things down, I realized that a lot of what I was writing was more of a what and a how. There were more of the things that we did and how we chose to do them than they were why. One of the things I realized, I'm gonna get to my where I kind of found my why, but I want to grab something else and bring it in because it has to do with that. I'm trying to give his hour thing. I'm condensing it into like 10 minutes. So, we have a desire, at some level, to influence human behavior. At some point in along your walk, you have this. You want people. You want to influence. And there's two real ways to influence human behavior: manipulation and inspiration. Now, manipulation, especially in the church, is a super dirty word. You know, it's witchcraft. But really, manipulation, if you look at, and I'm not arguing with that. That's true. Manipulation is messy. But if you look at it apart from apart from religion, apart from that, really manipulation is a huge part of our normal life. And I'm not trying to paint it in a good light. I'm just trying to say that oftentimes we realize, in listening and kind of studying through manipulation, I realize how much manipulation was a part of my normal life. For instance, how many of you guys, who shops on Black Friday? Even online? Come on. Okay. Yeah. So why do we shop on Black Friday? Because prices are good, right? Right, so that's a form of manipulating prices in order to get something out of us, to get us to, like, we justify it. I mean, we could justify it all, like, well, I got to buy these anyways, and I'm going to wait for this and a good deal and all that. But there's an acceptable and appropriate amount in our culture of manipulation that we're willing to participate in, and also that we're willing to we'll participate in by being manipulated, and also by manipulating others. I just recently bought a truck, and I realized that when you walk onto a car lot, if you've ever walked onto a car lot, that if there's anything on your mind other than manipulation, I'm going to be manipulated, then you're about to get had. And so, fully aware of that, I've been on car lots before. I sat down with this guy that was just going at it full speed, and I just kind of stop him. I'm like, listen, I understand what you're doing. Like, it's your job to get the most money you can for this vehicle. And I recognize that, and that's your job. Like, you're doing your job, but you got to recognize it's my job to pay the least that I can for this vehicle. So let's get that out of the way. We both know what we're doing. We both know the game we're doing. Now let's just see who can play it. And so he ended up walking away, not wanting to deal with me. But we went to somebody else. Anyway, we realized that, like, I mean, I was actually inviting it. Like, manipulate the price enough to get me to buy. And so it's a part of our life, and so manipulation is there. But I can tell you that manipulation does work. Take the church. We'll go back to the church. We can manipulate people to come to church. We don't like to talk about it or think about it, but we do. We can. You know, we can scare people into coming to church. We can bribe people into coming to church. We can try to have the best or the, there's a million ways to try to get people to come to church. And at some level we do that. We engage in it and we do it. And while manipulation does work, what we really want is inspiration. What we really need to do is inspire. And it's the why that inspires. So I could get up here and I could talk about what we do and how we do it and wanting everybody to engage. I know that I want people to come to church. Like, I want people to show up on Sunday morning. And I realize that if I don't know why, if I'm not inspired by my own why, how can I expect anybody else to be inspired? And so I started just digging into this, and really, you know, we learn through our culture that if you dangle a big enough carrot in front of people, you can manipulate them into doing lots of things. You know, if we had a famous speaker come, and we spent thousands of dollars in advertising, and we could pack this building out. But but manipulation doesn't inspire. It's not what we do that really matters. It's why we do it. Sorry, give me a second. I'm having a moment. Everything you do needs to prove what you believe. The goal is not to talk about what you do, but to talk about what you believe. So, what do I believe about what we're doing? And I wrestled with this for a while. Like, am I inspired? Is there a why? If all that's true, if this thing is true, and it's the why that really does connect us. Now, I know a bunch of people are going to come because of the what and the how. They come to church because they like what music we play. Or they like, you know, whatever. They like whatever happens. And you can get people to do something, but really, inspiration and connection comes from why. So, what is my why? I was sitting there thinking, carrying this burden of like, man, if that's all true, then there's a lot of responsibility that rests on my shoulders. And so I just began to search and talk to God about what my why is. And I was on looking, of course, on Facebook for it. And I'm just kidding. I was on Facebook anyway. And this video popped up. How many of you guys ever see the videos of that Steve Backlund posts? The hope, what is he called? Hope Injection. Yeah, and Hope Injection. So there's this one Hope Injection, and he gets on there, and Steve Backlund, for those of you who don't know, pastored here for 7 years before I was here. And he gets on there and he starts talking about babies. This is a couple weeks ago. Did you see this one? So he starts talking about babies, and he's talking about how a baby doesn't limit itself by what its current conditions are. So it doesn't say, well, like, I can't walk, I'm not a gifted walker. You know, I can't talk, I'm not gifted at talking. And so he goes through this whole thing. It's really good. I'm if you want to see it, watch it. But he says this line that catches my attention. He says, babies do not determine their future by their past. They determine their future by their parents. And his point being that what a baby does is a baby looks at not what their condition is, what their current condition is, but they look at what it's unintentional. Obviously, the babies aren't thinking through, like, except for maybe Liam. Liam may be thinking through. He may be processing all the way through this, but yeah, I think I will do that. Anyway, Liam is Tim and Anna's son, if you don't know who Liam is. But, you know, they don't look at their life as a limitation. At somewhere, they just look at what's around them and they gravitate towards what's around them. So what becomes possible is what they see in their parents, not what they see in their own life. And this thing hit me. That's my why. I didn't even listen to the whole video. I didn't even know what the rest of the video was about. I paused it and I was like, I got to write, that's my why. I wasn't even necessarily looking for it at the moment. Thinking about it, I said, that's my why. What is it? The why is I believe in change. I believe that people can be different, better tomorrow than they are today through Christ. This thing like started bubbling me. I was like, that's my why. That's why I come to church. That's why I want to be a pastor. That's why I want people to come, because I know that we all live in limitations. We all live in pain. We have all these things that are going on in our lives. And I believe that not church itself, but our interaction and our time with the Lord and time with each other makes us better. Are you with me? Are you okay? Okay. I believe people can change. We can grow. We can learn. We can be free from addiction, depression, poverty, anger, selfishness, entitlement. Through Christ, we can be better tomorrow than we are today, every day. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled faces, behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. God is our hope for change. We can be a new creation. He can renew our minds. We can get free. As we get free, we change. We become who we're created to be, redeemed to be, That's the why. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Never let who you were stop you from being who you're supposed to be. Don't let it get in the way. I feel like we we are our biggest stumbling block. That's a good word. Thank you. No, you're right. That's perfect. I was looking for it. Christ is our change agent. He's the I can to our I can't. Why do I want people to come to church? Because I want to change. I want people to change. I want a community to change. I want circumstances to change. I want a world to change. And I believe that in all of its limitations, church, the gathering of believers, the what we do, even if you boil it down to just this meeting, the what we do traces back to believing why we do it. Why do we do it? Because we believe something can change. Both inside of us. Why do we pray for the sick? It's something we do. Why do we pray for it? Because we believe. Because I can believe it can be different. That you can walk in here with an ailment, with something wrong with you, and you can walk out without. That's motivation. That's connection. And listen, what I realized is that if that's true, if that's really what I believe, if that's really my why, then the people that share my why will connect with this place, and this is where they'll be. Now, everybody can connect to different things. You could connect to Dave or different people or each other or whatever. This is my why. Are you guys okay? Are you with me? Okay. Every encounter with Him changes us a little bit more. Have you ever had those days when, weeks, months, years maybe, when you feel like you stop moving forward? And some, in bummer situations, you feel like you start moving backwards? If you look and say, man, I actually think I was better before. I'm moving backwards. I know in my life, it's distance. It's when I disconnect. And I know, I preach, I'm here. But how many of you guys know you can sit in the seat and still be disconnected? We cannot reproduce the character of Jesus in our own strength. New Year's resolutions, willpower, best intentions are not enough. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to make the changes that God wants to make in our lives. Philippians 2:13 says that God's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Why do we come to church? Why do I come to church? What's my why? There's more. There's more. There's more to you. There's more to me. There's more to Him. There's a million things to get in the way. There's a million challenges to figure out. Everything from bulletins and what color and all the what's and what times. And I don't know that if we would start on time, even if Jesus was here. I don't. Shot at Dave. You know, and we spend time figuring out how, like the how. You know, how do we pray and how do we say the right things and how do we, you know, one of the things giving transition to Fenton and to Daniel and letting them figure out the house. Letting them figure out like, how do you do this and how do you do that and how do I, and Daniel did a great job this morning. Like, how do you encourage the body and you bring prophetic in, and we have this group of students and they carry something that we want to communicate. How do you do that? Like, I don't know if you guys catch it, but it's a challenge to figure out how does it happen. But we have to get back to this why. Like, why are we doing that? Do we do that because, well, we're supposed to? No, we do that. Why do we introduce and keep alive the prophetic? Why do we pray for the sick? Why do we? Because we believe it makes a difference. We believe it changes. We believe that it can influence, and that tomorrow something can be different from today. But as we discover who we are created to be, we become it. As we spend time in the presence of, and just like it's kind of just, I mean, I think go back to what Steve Ackman was saying. It's like babies that if we think that we are limited to our current situation because it's our situation, we're not grabbing the why. We're not grabbing the fact that, like, hey, where you are now actually doesn't even matter. Because where you can be tomorrow will be different. It can be. You can stay where you are. In that case, it does matter, I guess. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So this is my why. One of the things about finding your why, you know, there's a whole bunch of why in all parts of your life. You know, why didn't I walk by that swing when I was, I'll tell you, yeah, I don't know if I would survive as well that fall these days. And so my why has changed a little bit. But I would definitely have to, you know, make a conscious effort. Because there's something deep in me as this desire to, it's how a pastor ends up with a challenge course in his yard of his church. And so identifying the why, like there's a whole bunch of whys, but the why of it's kind of this, is I sum it up like this and then we'll go. It's my why of church attendance. Why do I get up in the morning? I mean, why I get up in the morning is maybe different. Why I get up in the morning and I get ready and I get excited, and why, and this morning probably more than others because I knew what I was preaching, but I came in like just excited. It's like, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know He can. I don't know what God's going to change, but I know He can. And that's enough. That's enough. That's the why. And it's enough for me to show up. It's enough for me to expect. And I realize that I don't always communicate my why very good. I don't always communicate. Like, sometimes it's laced in everything I think that I do and say about changing and wanting people to grow. But I realize more and more how much it drives me. And what I really want is for you guys to find your why. And directly in regard, I mean, all the whys in your life, but directly in regards to church. Because then it makes it, you know, I know sometimes when we're feeling like, I don't know, when the snow gets deep or whatever, and it's like, it's work to come. Right now my why is I'm obedient. And I'm just being obedient. And that's okay. But how many of you guys know it's not fun to live there forever? Like, this passionate connection to a family, to a church that loves you, and that it's inspiring. And I want to encourage you this week, or for as long as it takes, to get with the Holy Spirit and find your why. Find the why of your work, your job. Why are you going to that job? Why are you going to work? And find the why of your family, of your friends, of your church. Like, I was sitting there after, I mean, I'd written half this message, and I still was like, I think I'm going to preach this, but I got to find my why. I got to be able to communicate this for him. And I came across this video and just popped out. I was like, oh, that's it. That's what it is. Will you guys stand up for me? We're going to end, or I'll just keep talking.
Why?
Yeah, why? Why? God, I thank you that you really are the covering, the great why. Lord, I just pray that you would individually just begin to touch our hearts. And stir up a hunger to find our why in all areas of our life. Find this deep passion and belief that drives us, that we connect. We want to be inspired. We want to live inspired. Passionate, excited, like a baby that's learning how to walk, not just frustrated with what's not working, but excited about what is coming, what could be. Embolden us, stir us up, encourage us, surround us with people that believe in us. I feel like, I didn't plan to do this, but I feel like it's just, at least for some of you, it's just going to happen right now. This is kind of revelation of why. And if that's you, if you feel like, man, I need to know what that is. Maybe you already knew, you know. But just put your hands out, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's just going to speak that to you. One more thing I feel like I'm hearing. That the Holy Spirit's going to take the scary out of why. If asking why feels scary, like what if I can't find it? What if I don't know? What if I don't have a reason? What if I have no? Yeah, the Holy Spirit's just going to take the scary out of asking why. Why I do what I would do? What drives me? What am I passionate about? How do I connect? Like, there's just going to be, it's going to take the scary out of it. And it's going to be, it is going to be a journey. It's going to be fun. Like a baby learning to walk. Doesn't mean there's no falling or learning to talk. It doesn't mean there's no wrong words or things that aren't understood. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a journey. And it's going to be day to day. And it's going to be better every day. More and more and more. Becoming what you were created to be in Christ. Free and powerful. Amen.